Hello and welcome back to a brand new series of the Youth Trends podcast from Voxburner. This week's guest is involved in one of the most talked about topics of the past year, the climate change movement. Will Skeeping is creative director of Extinction Rebellion and co-author of their best-selling book, This Is Not a Drill. Stay tuned for a thought-provoking discussion on how marketers can contribute into saving our planet and why this issue is so important to today's young people. Tell us who you are, your background, and your role at Extinction Rebellion.
So my name's Will Skeeping, and I joined Extinction Rebellion on the day that it launched in October 31st, 2018. My background before that had been in advertising, previously before that in record labels and the music industry. And my first job out of university was at Google, where I sort of got to watch a company go from something very small to something very, very big very quickly. And it's really interesting seeing Extinction Rebellion because it feels like being part of another kind of really successful startup, or one that at least is growing and changing very quickly. And yeah, I work in the media and messaging team, but really that encompasses a lot of different parts of our work. So that includes working on actions, the stuff that you see in the streets, but also developing our new comms platforms. And because I've been around for a year, I've got stuck into lots of different things and ended up co-editing our Extinction Rebellion handbook, which is now a real bestseller through Penguin, and it's coming out in about 5 other countries this year. So, and there's a sequel on the way.
Forward to that.
Yeah.
And what was it about Extinction Rebellion that drew you to them? So from going from the music industry to something...
Yeah. I left the music industry and then got into sort of advertising and media, and then I got to a certain age, I got to sort of my late 30s, and suddenly realised that the politicians who were meant to be doing something about the climate crisis, just they're my age now, or they're not far off, and they haven't read some special report that I haven't read, or they haven't seen some special thing. They're just not doing anything. And that's like a really shocking moment. And I'd been working on campaigns and advertising stuff and just seeing, like, you know, product cycle after product cycle, Xbox, knew this, knew that. And you're just kind of going, hold on, what point does this kind of suddenly stop? What is the point at which we're all going to put the brakes on this so that we don't all end up in a dark ecological climate apocalypse? And just realizing no one's going to do it. And that's a really shocking moment. And the reports were getting worse. I'd spent 20 years of reading the newspapers and just seeing more and more apocalyptic stuff. And I suddenly had this moment. I remember it was around... an anecdote. I was driving in the car with my dad, and we talked about the fact that insects used to hit the windscreen of your car when you were driving. You used to have to stop every few miles to peel them off because it was, and that doesn't happen anymore. And that's not because insects have learned how to navigate around cars, it's because there aren't any. And that's sort of one of those moments where you realize that in your lifetime, the crisis has got much, much worse, the ecological and climate crisis, and that the police are younger than you, the adults who are meant to be in charge don't know what they're doing, and they're not doing anything of any real value that's necessary. So yeah, I just felt I had a kind of, I certainly wasn't a meltdown, it was more of a kind of search for what to do about this or how I could bring myself into it. So it's kind of the opposite of a meltdown, I guess. And yeah, it saw Extinction Rebellion was launching through a bizarre set of coincidences, got myself down there to Central Parliament Square, and saw a kind of slight mess of group of people. I think people remember it differently depending on where they came from, but I remember thinking, God, this is like a bit like The Usual Suspects. There's quite a lot of, you know, people who look like activists, but they had this amazing logo, and there were loads of other people there who looked like they knew what they were doing. And I thought, yes, this is brilliant. This is something going on here, and I know that I can contribute. And then it's knowing that I could bring something to the party, and that's where I just threw myself in the deep end.
Fantastic. And why is it that you think that the young people have been the ones to currently lead this environmental movement so far?
Well, I think it's partly because they're the ones who are going to have to suffer the worst of all of this. I mean, we've got to start by understanding how bad this really is. Like, it is, we are absolutely on the trajectory for 3 to 6 degrees of warming, depending on how bad things go, above pre-industrial levels. We're at 1.1 degrees now. And it's going up. We're emitting more emissions than ever. We are, you know, destroying the planet faster and faster and reaching these incredibly terrifying tipping points at which basically things run out of control and there's nothing we can do. And young people in the future are the ones who are going to suffer. And that's there's a thing called climate justice that you sometimes hear about, and that's a sort of phrase you hear shouted at events and activists chanting it and stuff. But it's got a really important sort of underpinning thing to it, and that is that climate justice is about balancing inequality. So us in the present day, all of us today making products, doing business, are pumping out emissions, destroying the climate as it is and the UK's biosphere, and that there's an inequality. Future generations will be the ones to suffer this, so we've got to take a hit and we've got to begin to balance that equation, just as there's a for people in the global south, the majority world, the exploited world, so that's everywhere that we're getting all this stuff from to have our lifestyles as we've got them in the West. Those people right now are suffering. We've got to do something about that in the present because our actions in the West are affecting them. And that's the sort of two of the parts of the sort of theme of climate justice.
Thank you. And what advice would you give our listeners who are marketeers, you know, in today's world that are trying to convince their bosses to take action on climate change and to get their brand behind the cause?
If you can't, if your CEO won't change, change your CEO. We're at a really drastic point now in life, in reality, at which we're going to have to take a step back from our businesses and our work and the decorum that we have around the workplace. And we're going to have to start doing really drastic things. And that may mean bringing the kind of rebellion themes into your workplace. And that doesn't mean doing things on your own. It doesn't mean being a wild card and gluing yourself to your CEO's desk, though I wouldn't argue against that. But I would say, look at how you can work with other people together, bringing the community within your office, your workplace, your environment together to make a real stand and ask for CEOs to make the changes that are necessary, because no one else is going to do this for you. The rebellion is out there. We're doing what we're doing against government and those power structures, but it's going to take everyone to do something. And the first step can be in the place where you spend most of your waking life. You might as well start there, and you'll find a very sympathetic audience. I think you'd be really surprised. CEOs are looking for a reason to change, and they don't necessarily want to, but the workforce, that is the core of any business. Hiring people is the most expensive thing in a business. So not the most, but it can be. And this is the bit where you can exercise power to change your environment internally and externally.
I think, like, the average Joe potentially would think, well, you know, we can recycle and do X, Y, and Z. What would be, you know, your top three initiatives to implement, like, straight away in the workplace that one could be doing?
I wouldn't sweat the small stuff. I think a lot of companies are kind of obsessed with getting their house in order before they do anything fundamental. This is about the big stuff. That's, you know, like, whether or not you recycle is not going to make a difference to whether we have any chance of survival on this planet or your children get to live till old age. This is, I mean, it's really serious. I wish there were a fun twist to this, but the main and only thing I do is get together with your colleagues and talk about this and work out how you're going to shift your industries. So it's like, find your competitors, find your talk to your clients, talk to all your audiences, and look at how you're going to explore this one together and get on with doing it and start making those changes and feeling them as soon as possible. And this isn't like something that everyone can get involved with. Like, not everyone's got the emotional bandwidth for this, and that's absolutely okay. Not everyone's got the people need to work. If you need the money, then this is really tough. This is all part of the same toxic system. So I'm not saying like this is for everyone, but if you do have that power and you do have that privilege to do something about this, like, look at how you can bring people together and just even start getting into the subject, exploring it and understanding that it's real. And this isn't just something you see in the newspapers or you see a bunch of people dressed up looking funny outside Parliament. This is going to affect you in your lifetime, in the near future. And overcoming that grief, that kind of understanding of the fact that we've already made terrible advances towards an apocalyptic future and that we've got to do everything we can now to hold that back is really important. So going through an emotional process is vital.
And what brands would you say currently in the industry that are leading the way in hopefully making a real change to their sustainability efforts?
Well, I really like, I mean, this is going to seem so obvious, but Patagonia are cool. They've been really supportive of us in Extinction Rebellion. And rather than, I don't know what their sort of offsetting thing is that they do, but offsetting is still pumping out carbon. It's just like displacing that. And what we need to be doing is reducing it. So the kind of offsetting they're doing is helping activists. They're genuinely giving money, time, effort, space, facilities, resources towards activists to do what we're doing, because that is really at the moment the most urgent and best way of making change. It's not about planting trees. If bosses are going, well, we're going to plant 1,000 trees to make up for X, Y, and Z bad practices, that's just like absolutely rubbing salt in the wound. I mean, that is a huge, huge problem. That is greenwashing, as far as I'm concerned. We're well past that point. No number of trees is going to make any difference planted now. Yeah, sure, we could get on with that, but we've got to stop doing the bad practices we're doing right now.
And any brands that come to mind that are doing things very, very wrong that you might want to shout out?
There's so many brands I'd like to shout out for or call out for doing bad. But the problem is that I don't think that's really going to help. I think it creates a sort of a friction, and we need to be bringing people together to do real change. So as a culture within Extinction Rebellion, we make a sort of point of not going, oh, BP's worse than Shell. Look, we know that oil companies are horrific and the energy companies, you know, there's a lot of terrible practice, but frequently you ladder up past those kind of sales arms, those Shells, those BPs, and you find at the top of the ladder there's, you know, a country with weapons, and that's real power sits behind that. And that's why this is going to take everybody getting together to rise up and do something about this crisis at a political level, at a governmental level. But God, who's really bad? I mean, look, it's the usual suspects. It's exactly the people you'd expect it to be. I can't personally understand why I've been called up by a well-known drinks brand several times to talk about their plastic problem that they've known about for 30 years. I think you can probably guess who it is now. And they keep phoning and they're going, oh great, we've got a panel, we've got an internal marketing discussion about this, that and the third. Guys, you know about it. It's dead simple what you need to do. You just don't want to do it. And that's the big problem. It's time to get on with actually doing the job now. The talking is over, the panel discussions, we're done with it.
And you mentioned earlier about what, you know, the workplace can be doing, hopefully, to drive their organisation to make a change. What can marketeers do to support youth organisations that are trying to tackle the climate change? Would it be similar?
Yeah, there's absolutely loads of ways you can help support youth strikes, Extinction Rebellion Youth, what other groups? Just, you know, there's loads of them out there. And the main thing is getting in touch and listening to young people, working out what, not trying to sort of muscle them into some program that you know a marketeer might have in mind, or trying to win a can award because you've got a snazzy idea with like a young person jumping out of a hat. I don't know, like that's bullshit. What you need to do is listen to young people, find out what help they need and supply that help. And if you can see things they're missing, insights that you can provide, data, useful information that's going to assist in what they're doing, that's really important too. But co-opting young people and the purity of what they're doing, and the voice has such clarity, because you can't really argue with people who are going to suffer the worst effects of the work we're doing. So I'd be really, really sensitive to the fact that the kind of what we're doing as adults, or you know what we're doing in Extinction Rebellion, it does have a different tone of voice and a different impact and a different sort of target, I guess, in many ways to young people and the work that they're doing. But we've got to start getting together, and that's the main thing. It's working out how you're going to move together with young people, listening to them.
And Will, if we fast forward say 10 years time, what for you does the marketing world look like around climate change and what they're doing?
I mean, in order to, I've given up my job, basically. I had quite a nice little career going on. I had a little startup happening. I was quite pleased with the stuff. There's absolutely like bum all point in worrying about then what we're going to be doing in 10 years, because life is going to be very, very different if we don't do something about this. And we, you know, the scientists are predicting the near-term collapse of civilization. I don't think that's entirely, you know, impossible at all. If food crops fail, it doesn't take long for everything to turn nasty very quickly, at which point the last thing anyone's going to be thinking about is marketing. So I'd be really considerate that this isn't like a fantasy. This isn't something I've watched on YouTube videos about, like 5G and wearing tinfoil hats. This is like real life. It's what scientists are saying. And marketing in 10 years will hopefully not be trying to sell things to people that they don't need. We'll have to think of a completely new way of doing everything. So the jobs we're all doing now, the career paths we're on, if we're going to all survive into the next, the rest of this century, we're all going to have to change very, very drastically. And I know that's something that's difficult to get your head around, and that's part of this grieving process. But all the aspirations we had, all the kind of visions for our future, they're all going to have to change. We're in an era of really, really significant change now, and adaptation is going to be a big part of that, both internally for ourselves and for the work we do.
You know, you just referenced the term a grieving process.
Totally.
And is that how you see like what we're all going through now?
No, I think we're not even there yet. I think we've got to get on that kind of roller coaster. It is really bad. I mean, it's painful and it's difficult, but you come out the other end feeling like empowered and ready. And it's a grieving process because you're used to a certain way of life. And then once you kind of begin to realize what we're going to have to do and our aspirations, those things that you've built up and the structures and everything, the strategies you've internally put together in your head of how you're going to get there, begin to kind of crumble or feel meaningless. And that is just something we have to go through, a grieving process. Because if you don't and you just stop it suddenly, then that's awful. Like, no one can cope with that. We're just not built for it as humans. And that's why we're kind of... You know, Extinction Rebellion's not telling anyone what to do. Don't stop flying. Don't stop eating meat. Whatever. We're just saying, like, this is... We're all going to have to get together on this. We're all in the same boat. Whether you're the CEO or you're an intern, this is a journey we're all going to go on together, and we need to be there for each other in this process. So how you treat grieving is probably a good way of looking at this. If someone's upset, you get together and you look at how you're going to work through this.
Well, thanks. Like, talking about it very passionately, like, you know, around that. Moving on to talk a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah.
It'd be really interesting to hear about what's been a, you know, very like exciting career so far. Any highlights that have been standing out for you? Whether it's currently, you know, with Extinction,
yeah,
or...
I mean, like, so I used to work in the music industry. We did some really good records that I'm really proud of. Had a rapper called MF Doom I used to work very closely with. He's a big American rapper. So I really enjoyed working with all those guys on the label side. And working at Google early on was an amazing trip. But I feel like I had a sort of kind of... I can plot a trajectory in my career that involves lots of trendy music stuff and bits of marketing and advertising and working with J.K. Rowling's people, and like, it was all cool, and transmedia planning and stuff. But the reality is, it feels really like all of that's led me to a really nice place where I can bring all of those transferable skills into working in climate activism. It's not like you have to start from scratch and suddenly you're like, oh shit, I'm a climate activist, I better put on a Patagonia jacket and grow some dreads. It's totally not that. It's like, you can bring all your skill sets. If you're a film guy, you know, if you're an editor, if you have practical skills, if you even have marketing skills, strategy, insight, data-driven, you know, work, there's so many ways of plugging in. We're desperately looking right now. And I know social media teams from all youth movements are looking for help and assistance. And content and all those things. So yeah, the thing I'm most proud of at the moment, I guess, is having worked on the Extinction Rebellion handbook. I'm a co-editor. We do things together. It's not a sort of single effort. And I'm less concerned now, I guess, about my personal work in Extinction Rebellion and more about how we're doing things together. So that kind of ego bit is sort of really fallen away a lot. I just want to make sure I'm living the best life I can with people on the best trajectory. And I know that might sound a bit like, I don't know, out of sync with most of the way people are doing things these days. Or maybe not. Maybe this is the new thing, and that's what we're all going to have to start considering.
And this book is out now.
Yeah, it's called The Extinction Rebellion Handbook. Came out through Penguin in, I think it was June last year, but it's coming out in a few more countries this year. And done, I think, 100,000 copies of that, and there'll be a sequel on the way shortly.
Awesome. And Will, you're joining us in April for YMS 20.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Bringing along a youth climate activist, so they'll be with me. So together we can, and I think this is part of that thing about bringing youth voices to the party. It's not just about what I can say as some, you know, 40-year-old marketing professional. It's got to be like, how do we actually, and I'm going to hopefully show how we can begin to really listen in real time to these people, to young people.
Excellent. And you're sitting on a panel, is that right?
Yeah,
is that...
We'll be sitting on a panel. But I mean, we'll be speaking together.
Excellent. And I guess, wrapping things up, anything that you'd like our audience to know about you that maybe people don't already know? Like a fun fact for the day?
God, yeah, I really love Italian disco music from the early 80s. Wow. There's some absolute bangers. Get on YouTube and... have a listen to that. It's super cheesy. It's probably completely out of sync. It sort of sounds like the theme tune to an advert or something. It's exactly the opposite of what you'd expect for a sort of crusty type person, but that's not what we are, and we're all made up of people with different
Absolutely.
Interests. So have a Italian disco music from the 80s, Italo disco.
And if you could offer our, you know, our listeners, I guess, like, you know, thought for the day or one key takeaway, you know, from this, what would that takeaway be for them to, you know, to get off on their way to work with?
It would be to start thinking about how you're going to work with other people and start on this journey, at what point are you going to go, enough is enough, nothing is going to happen unless I'm part of that solution? And looking at how you can work and partner and talk with other people about this subject. Just even talking and opening the conversation with others is a really good thing to do. And recognizing that, like, this is an imperfect scenario we're in. We shouldn't even be here. If we'd done this 30 years ago, then we could have had the iterative small changes that mean that life would, business as usual, would still be the same-ish. And the reality is we didn't. And now we're going to have to do something more and more drastic. And the longer we leave it, the harder it's going to be. So get on that personal journey for yourself and for your families, and consider what you're doing on this planet as a human, not just what you're doing here as a marketeer.
Will, thanks so much for talking so passionately about that with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks to Will for stopping by Voxburn HQ to share his thoughts on such an important issue. And you can hear more from him this April at our up-and-coming Youth Marketing Festival, YMS20, London. Head to voxburner.com for tickets, and don't forget to use the code PODCAST10 for an exclusive discount. That's all for now. Have a great week, and we'll see you back here next Monday for some more youth trends from Voxburner.